Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. The Lord told Moses in Leviticus 19 to speak to the people of Israel and tell them, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Another way to translate this would be, "You shall be saints," for that's what a saint is, after all, a holy one. The Lord declared that his people were to be all saints, all holy, just as he himself was. And right after that declaration, Moses was then to go on and restate God's commandments. Revere your mother and father. Keep God's Sabbaths. Do not turn to idols. Offer right sacrifices. Care for the poor and sojourner. Do not steal, do not deal falsely or lie, do not swear by God's name falsely, do not do injustice in court, do not hate your brother, love your neighbor as yourself, and so on and so forth. The Beatitudes, which we heard this morning, are quite similar to this. On the mountain where Jesus taught his disciples, he declared the poor in spirit, the mourners, the meek, those hungry and thirsty for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those persecuted for righteousness' sake, even for his own sake, to be blessed. Jesus says that they will receive the kingdom of heaven, comfort, the earth as an inheritance, satisfaction, mercy, the sight of God, the title sons of God, and a great reward in heaven. And so we see from these two passages that according to both the Old and the New Testaments, holiness, blessedness, sainthood, and good works are all tied together. We cannot separate them from each other. When the Lord tells Israel through Moses that they shall be holy, he then follows that word with his holy law. Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount by blessing those who live in love and humility. And there are many other scriptural passages besides that not only exhort God's people to do good works and lead virtuous lives, but even speak of rewards, both in eternity but also here on earth, for one's good deeds. And so if we read the Bible honestly, there's no getting around it. God says that saints do good works. Saints are to do good works, in fact. But this clear word of God is horribly mangled when it is taught that we become saints by our good works. Indeed, souls have been led right to hell because they've been misled about this very matter. If you believe that you are holy before God because of the things you have done, if you think that your good works merit a reward of eternal life and salvation, then you are in terrible danger of falling away from God and into eternal condemnation. And so Jesus warns at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Yes, it is true that saints are to do good works. They do good works. The Bible says this plainly, but good works do not make you a saint. If that were so, then there would be no All Saints Day, for there would be no saints. We just heard this word of God last Sunday, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All means all, without exception. So all who are saints are also one and all sinners. All have violated the law of God that was given through Moses on Sinai. All have despised and angered their parents and other authorities, despised preaching and God's word, feared, loved, and trusted in someone or something besides God, taken their neighbor's money or possessions, told lies about their neighbors, hurt or harmed their neighbors in their body, and sinned in many and various other ways. All have thought of themselves more highly than others, been remorseless, prideful, satisfied with the pleasures and riches of this world, unwilling to forgive, impure in thought, word, and deed. For all these sins, which all have committed, the wages is nothing less than death, both temporally and eternally. And so death spread to all men because all have sinned. If it was necessary to do good works, if it was necessary to lack sin in order to be a saint, then none could dare claim that title. All would be lost. But as you remember, the Holy Spirit did not stop inspiring Paul after writing, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." He goes on, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and all are justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Or as the Apostle John, inspired by the same Holy Spirit, writes for us today, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." The kind of love the Father has given is a sacrificial love, love that moved him to give his only begotten Son, to shed his holy precious blood on the cross for the sins of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should be declared children of God. And so they are. For Jesus' sake, for the sake of his precious blood shed on the cross for the sins of the world, all who believe in him are righteous, holy, blessed saints. True holiness, true sainthood does not come because of the good works you do, but because of Christ's good work, which is accounted to you by grace alone, received by you through faith alone. Though all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Jesus is the sinless man. He fulfilled the glorious law of God perfectly, including all that he preached in the Beatitudes. Christ was poor in spirit, who though he was rich, for our sakes became poor, that by his poverty we might become rich. Christ mourned, lamenting not for himself, but for poor, miserable sinners that were doomed to hell. Christ was meek, he who is gentle and lowly in heart, who gives rest to the weary and heavy laden. Christ hungered and thirsted after righteousness, fasting in the wilderness and living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Christ is the merciful one, who forgives all your sins and remembers your iniquities no more. Christ is pure in heart, totally without sin in mind, body, and soul, instead filled with perfect love both for God, his Father, and you, his neighbor. Christ is the peacemaker, having reconciled us to his Father by the blood of his cross. Christ was persecuted for righteousness' sake, but now he who was crucified at the hands of sinful men is risen from the grave, never to die again. The stone that the builders rejected, he has become the cornerstone of the Holy Christian Church, the household of God, of which you have been made fellow citizens with all the saints. If you seek the holiness and blessedness that comes from God alone, if you wish to be a saint, do not look at your works and do not trust in them, for you will never achieve sainthood by your deeds. You have not observed all the commandments of the Lord. You have not done them. You have not loved God above all things, nor your neighbor as yourself. You have sought riches and fulfillment, laughter and honor here on earth from men, at the expense of the consolation and satisfaction and comfort and glory that comes from God alone. You are a sinner. And these sins defile you. They make you unholy. They make you miserable. but the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin. The Apostle John writes also in our epistle, everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Hope in Jesus, therefore, and you shall be pure, washed clean of your sins, made whiter than snow. Through faith in him alone, you are truly a saint, truly blessed, no matter how many sins you've committed, no matter what kind of sins those are. You are truly holy, just as God, your Father, is holy. Not because of a righteousness that you have achieved for yourself, because of your works, because you've managed to stop sinning. That's impossible. Rather, you are holy because you have received a righteousness from outside of yourself, a righteousness that is freely given to you by he who alone is righteous, Jesus, the Son of God. And this is the righteousness of faith, which is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. For to the one who does not work, but believes in God, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. By this hope, he is purified by God. No good works do not make you a saint, not even in conjunction with faith, but only faith. Faith alone, apart from works. To paraphrase the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you are a saint through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And now, once we recognize that we are holy and righteous as saints before God, not because of our works, but rather by faith, then we can rightly understand the place of good works in our lives as saints. They belong there. Indeed, they're necessary there. Not necessary to earn salvation, but necessary because that is who we are. And so Paul goes on to write, for we saints are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Those who are saints, those who are saved by grace alone, who possess faith in their hearts worked by the Holy Spirit, will inevitably bear the fruit of good works in their lives. Because they have genuine faith, the Holy Spirit will bring forth love for God and love for their neighbor in their lives. In other words, there is a cause and effect when it comes to saints and works, but not that good works cause one to be a saint. It's just the opposite. Being a saint causes one to do good works. Those who are blessed saints by grace alone will then naturally, even spontaneously, reflect their Lord Jesus in their lives and behavior. They will follow the example that Christ has set by being poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemaking, and being persecuted for righteousness' sake, even for Jesus' sake. Because they are blessed, they do these things, says Jesus. Because they are blessed, they will strive to keep the commandments that God has given. They will want to seek to please God with their behavior. They will delight in the law that God has given, his holy law, and they will walk in the good works that God has prepared for them beforehand. They will want to be holy, just as the Lord their God is holy. And they will do all of this with full attention, eyes on Jesus Christ alone, on his grace, on his mercy, on his work for them. Even as they seek to do what God wills, even as they strive to do better every day, they will not focus or concentrate on these good works of righteousness, of love, but simply do what is right, what is loving, because that's what saints do. Just as good trees bear good fruit. Now, we must also keep this in mind, however, as we rightly believe and confess that those who are called to be saints by grace alone do good works, we must also remember, never forget what God wrote through John in our epistle lesson today. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. And this means that while the guilt of your sins has been entirely taken away for Jesus' sake, you're still a sinner. You still daily sin, and much. In fact, John says elsewhere in this first epistle that if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourselves and the truth is not in you. If you say you have not sinned, you make God a liar and his word is not in you. Yes, you are forgiven. You are God's child now. You are a saint right now. But what you will be, perfectly sinless, has not yet appeared. So again, as we consider how saints and good works work together, we do not become saints by our good works. Rather, good works follow from faith in Christ, done by those who are called to be saints, and yet not perfectly, for still we daily sin much. And so, as strange as it may seem, saints who would be holy as the Lord their God is holy must daily confess unto him all their sins and iniquities. They must continue to humble themselves before the Lord in contrition and repentance. They must admit their guilt and shame. They must always despair of themselves and their own works. They must continually seek the righteousness that comes from God alone and never seek it in themselves. But God gives this very gift. He gives it in the means of grace that he has instituted for you. His holy gospel, holy baptism, holy absolution, holy communion. Through these and through these alone, you are forgiven of all your sins. You are declared to be holy, righteous, innocent, and blessed for Jesus' sake. Through these alone, you are truly called to be God's child, a servant, a saint. Through these alone, the Holy Spirit then gives you strength to rise and live as a saint, to follow the example set before us in all virtuous and godly living, as our collect said, doing this each and every day of your earthly life. And finally, through these alone, you are strengthened and preserved in that one true faith, in body and soul, unto life everlasting, when what you are will be seen. It will appear. When you see God as he is, when the kingdom of heaven, which is even yours now by faith, will be yours by sight, when you will see Christ with your own eyes, when you will be part of that great multitude clothed in white robes and palm branches being in your hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Yes, when you will fully and completely be what you have been from the very moment you were baptized, a saint, blessed, holy, just as the Lord your God is holy. In Jesus' name, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.